Hello and welcome to the Majesty Podcast. Yes, can you hear that? That is my teapot for Majesty, where we are spilling the royal tea, transatlantic style. I am Christo Fufas in London, London calling. Hello to you, Kinsey Schofield.
That's right, Los Angeles calling.
Hello, hello. Welcome. This is, of course, the podcast where we spill the royal tea. From both sides of the Atlantic, we go through the biggest stories of the week.
I think that's what's so interesting and different about our conversations is you are in the center of everything in London, and I'm getting all the Sussex gossip here in Los Angeles, where when they're excluded, when they are included. And I think that our conversations are very fun because aside from the fact that we're both royal junkies, I think we've probably both listen to Kesha on purpose, and that's what makes our relationship special.
We are the crazy people.
This is, Kinsey, the transatlantic majesty, and that's why I'm now pouring my tea.
Visually.
Can you hear that?
If you are just listening or just listening to the podcast and aren't watching, Christo is actually pouring tea right now. It's a beautiful visual.
And of course, I have my milk in a jug. You can hear that and see that. So I shall be pouring that into my tea as well, because I shall be drinking tea whilst we are spilling the Majesty here on Transatlantic Majesty. I have a little biscuit side.
You went all out on the props.
And here we are, my cup of tea to have in a bone china cup, of course.
Of course.
So there we are.
I'm ashamed to pick up my Red Bull and take a sip, but that is very Los Angeles.
Is that what you're? Well, yeah, but that's because you're American and I'm British. You are the uncouth American in this who'll probably be having, I don't know, a Red Bull and a Burger King Whopper, whereas I am having a civilized cup of tea with a biscuit, with a little bicky on the side.
Which I have to correct you. It's actually an In-N-Out burger, which, you know, they know Harry and Meghan's names at In-N-Out, according to Meghan, according to her Cut interview. When they roll up to the In-N-Out, they know their names. Girl, it's because you're on the cover of every magazine. It's not because you're a regular.
What is In-N-Out though? What In-N-Out burger? I mean, what is that the equivalent to here in London?
I mean, it's just the best burger in the country.
Is it a fast food burger or is it a go in and sit down burger place?
It's a fast food burger. Their employees make an amazing hourly wage. It's like the coolest place.
I'm just thinking, if I went to, I don't know, Five Guys here in London, which is a burger joint, or even Burger King, and anyone knew me by name, that wouldn't be something I would be admitting.
Oh my gosh. Years ago, I tweeted that this local sandwich shop knew my name, and somebody tweeted me back, I wouldn't be bragging about that. And I was like, you know what? I wish I wouldn't have been in choir with you in college, Brittany.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying it's quite common to know. And again, if it's a local sandwich shop, that's different. But going to your local McDonald's and then saying, hey, Christo, hello again. That would make me feel like I was very, very common and cheap. Which takes us on to Meghan quite nicely, actually, doesn't it?
Nice transition. Actually, let's go straight into Sasha. Let's go straight into Sasha Walpole.
So where are we starting? I mean, you know, where do you want to start this week? What? Are we going to talk about, because of course we've got the coronation. We've got, of course, you know, where is Meghan? Because we still haven't seen or heard from her in a while, have we? We've got the virginity gate, which took place this week. And that is, of course, who you are just referring to. Lovely. It is Sasha Walpole, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's quite an unfortunate surname, isn't it? more the royal pole than the Walpole.
But I mean, what's worse, the digger driver? Like the fact that it's the last name is Walpole, or the fact that her job title is digger driver?
She is a digger driver. But actually, I have a bit of sympathy for Sasha because she did not expect the popping of the royal cherry, shall we say, the deflowering of, at the time, the third in line to the throne. I don't think that she expected that. Was it third, fourth in line to the throne, I should say. Sorry, I should get that right. I don't think she expected that to ever be revealed. And in fact, bearing in mind one of Harry's biggest gripes in Spare is the fact that the press have done everything they can to ruin every relationship he's ever had, to ruin any chance he's ever had of having a normal life, of every single aspect of his life being put into the press. She has remained loyal. She has kept quiet. She hasn't told anyone in the press what she did with Prince Harry in a farmer's field full of shit. And as it turns out, he has decided to do exactly what he's complaining about, betray her and all but name her in his book, to the point where she was getting text messages and she was getting all sorts of Instagram messages from people saying, "Oh my word, it's so obvious that this is you." So he is an out and out hypocrite, right?
100%. Okay, so I need to ask you because this is something that I haven't confirmed. Now,
Right.
I heard, so if you asked me just blindly this morning where this took place, I would have said behind the Rattlebone Inn, which is conveniently titled Rattlebone Inn. But I'm seeing all these stories popping up as I'm getting ready today, saying that Harry got the location incorrect. So what location does Harry say that they had their tryst? Do you have Spare
Well,
near you?
as you know, I do not move to any room in my house without my copy of Spare, which is adorned with post-it notes. I don't do it. I don't leave home without it. You were talking about Bible verses on the bottom of the cups in and out. This is my Bible verse. I turn to this sometimes just to know any. Sometimes I don't know the answer to a question. Sometimes when you have one of life's dilemmas, just look up Spare,
It's your
and then
crystal
your life
ball.
doesn't. So bad, yes. Well, I think it was the emptying of his Christmas crystal balls that we're talking about. Right. So he speaks on page 70 of one of the royal protection officers that he gets on particularly well with, Marco, turning up to Eton to ask him about something that had been apparently going on. I can't remember what it is. Do you remember what it was that Marco was going to ask him about?
He was going to ask him, oh, he thinks,
About doing
oh,
drugs.
yes, he thinks he's going to ask him about Harry thinks he's going to ask him about this one night of 5 minute
Yes.
passionate love making, when in reality it's something far more sinister.
Yeah, it's about drugs. I mean, I'm sorry, like I can't be specific about what drug incident this particular bodyguard is asking Harry about because there are so many drug
There's a
incidents in
couple.
this book that we would have to extend this show to at least 3 hours to get through them all. There is a one incident, of course, where seals talk to him and he has a conversation with the moon and the moon answers back. But on this incident, Marco has come to see him. He thinks he's going to be asked about his virginity. You're quite right. But in actual fact, he's asking about drugs. And this is what the book says. So, of course, this is at Eton. At the tail end of 2001, Marco visited me at Eton. We had met for lunch at a cafe in the heart of town, which I thought quite a treat. Plus, an excuse to bunk off, leave school grounds, I was all smiles. But no, Marco, looking grim, said this was no larky outing. "What's up, Marco? I've been asked to find out the truth, Harry." "About what?" Harry answers. I suspected he was referring to my recent loss of virginity, inglorious episode with an older woman. She liked horses quite a lot and treated me not unlike a young stallion. Quick ride, after which she'd smacked my rump and sent me off to graze. Among the many things about it that were wrong, it happened in a grassy field behind a busy pub. Obviously, someone had seen us. "The truth, Marco," he's replying, "about whether or not you're doing drugs, Harry." "What?" And it seems like goes on to say it seemed the editor of one of Britain's biggest tabloids had recently phoned my father's office to say that she had uncovered evidence of my doing drugs in various locations, like Club H, which was the basement of one of the parts of Highgrove, also a bike shed behind a pub. He really does visit the most glamorous locations, doesn't he? You know,
Porter Potty,
Botswana, LA, and a grassy field where he loses his virginity in a bike shed behind a pub where he does drugs. So that's what is written in the book about this.
Okay, where's the argument then? I'm seeing all these headlines that he doesn't even know where he lost his virginity, that because I've heard both the rattle bone in, which is laugh out loud hysterical, and then was it Pine? Where were you telling me I needed to stay?
It was the Vine Inn, I think it was called. I'm just looking it up.
Yeah, the Vine Inn.
To see if I can find it, because I closed it. Dining. It was the Vine Free Inn in Norton. And it's open from Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, Wednesday to Saturday. A Sunday it closes at 10, so I'm not sure what time this happened.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to look up. Hang on. I'm now going to go to Google Maps on my laptop. And I'm going to look up the
Never
Vine
in my life
Tree.
Did I think we would be doing such heavy research into where Prince Harry popped his cherry.
And that's in Norton, which is in Malmesbury, a lovely part of the Cotswolds, I have to say. Now, just on Honey Lane, which coincidentally was his nickname for Sasha. No, I don't know whether that's true. But now I'm going to go to the satellite view. And I think if I can hold it up to camera, if you can see here. Did we say it was behind the pub? He said he lost his virginity.
Yes.
He did say that. Quick because ride.
Because she says that he bought her several shots. And so they went from bar to bone. Bar to bang.
Bar to bone.
Oh, actually, she described as a wham-bam, which I thought was hilarious. She described it as a wham-bam between two friends.
Now, can you see, if I hold this up to camera, can you see the Vine Tree in there?
Oh my gosh, is hilarious.
That's the field. That is the field. I'm going to zoom in on the field. There we go. Look, it's there. That's the field. Do you see that little... You see that?
Is that a snow
that
angel?
Little collection. It's a little collection of bush, which yeah. Coincidentally was what passers-by saw that night. There we go. We now have the location. When you come to London, no. I think that it would only be appropriate that you do a pilgrimage to that area.
Just really quickly, in case anybody is like lost, which you would be the last person on earth if you don't understand what we're talking about. Sasha Walpole has come out and said, I am the woman that took Harry's virginity. He was 16. I was 19. She worked for, I believe she worked for Prince Charles at the time. They met through polo. She does love horses. She did smack his butt. She said it was peach colored. She's a mother of two now. And while Harry described her as the older woman, she's actually only 40. So she's technically younger than his wife, Meghan Markle. And so that's kind of what this whole thing is about, why this virginity story has blown up. It's because we're actually seeing and hearing from Sasha for the first time. Christo, are we going to see Sasha on I'm a Celeb, Get Me Out of Here? Is she going to take this to the next level?
I think she has very, very tight competition from Ngozi Fulani, I'll be honest.
You shut your mouth.
As you know, I want... It's my dearest dream for Ngozi Fulani to be doing Dancing with the Stars I'm a Celebrity. So I would desperately like that to happen. So I don't know. It could be that she's going to pick Ngozi at the post, which of course would be another sign of racism in our country.
You are now,
Now, the problem, it's been reported now over here that that she was hugely embarrassed because poor Sasha Walpole has had to now tell her elderly father that she was the woman that took Prince Harry's virginity. She said that she laughed with her sister the morning after it happened, and she confessed it to her mother at the time, but her father has known nothing about it for the last 21 years until the publication of Spare, in her words, sparked a global guessing game and
Yes.
forced her to have to tell him. And so now she's had to go to her father. She's a former Highgrove groom. And so she's gone to her 71-year-old groundworker father, Tony, and he had no idea. She had to lay bare all of the excruciating details. She says, "It is something your parents probably should never read," said Mrs. Walpole. "The day after I had sex with Harry, I was in the kitchen at home and I told my mum, but I didn't give details. I think she was just like, okay, she trusted me. She knew I was on the pill. I thought we told Dad too, but now I realized he hadn't listened because he didn't want to hear about what his teenage daughter was doing, this older woman who was 19. The
Right.
family never spoke again about it, but now when she was on her way to Morrison's, the supermarket, to get her grocery shopping, she said, I just don't know what to do about speaking out. He didn't react. Normally, her father would give his advice. I could tell by the tone of his voice that he just didn't know." They've also got a very useful picture in this article of the Vine Tree Free House, which is a country pub which sells cask ales, fine wine, and it's got a kitchen. So there we go. I mean, that is really awful, though. Imagine having to tell your dad where you lost your virginity 21 years after it happened in a field behind a pub.
Was it her virginity? I didn't know it was her virginity too, was it?
Oh, I don't know what she did. She lose her virginity, or did
I think
she?
it was
That's a
just
good
Prince Harry's,
question.
but she does
No, that she'd
specific.
taken Prince Harry's
Oh yeah,
virginity.
but she does
Yeah,
specifically
yeah.
state that Harry did not act like he was losing his virginity. She says he acted like he knew what he was doing, despite it being 5 minutes of passion. And so what I here's where I'm like such a nerd. She talks about how Harry was trying to make her feel better that night because she had seen an ex-boyfriend and she was visibly upset over seeing this ex-boyfriend. So he bought her a bunch of shots. They did the shots. They went outside for a smoke. They're smoking. They hook up. Like, to me, that is the Lifetime movie of my dreams. I see an ex-boyfriend and this handsome prince is there and is trying to cheer me up. We get a little sauced and, roll around in the hay. I mean, that's such a cute,
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know that I love Jesus, but that's a very cute story.
It wasn't really hay, though. It was just, ankle deep mud, unfortunately. But I do get your point. It is a wonderful story. It is one of those, well, we'd call them TV movies
Yeah,
here
totally.
in the UK. But you're right. It's a TV movie. It's something you'd have on a Channel 5 in the afternoon, where, yeah, Prince comes along, whisks her away to a muddy field where she's covered in horse shit on her back while he ravages her for 5 minutes. I'm starting to think you've got a very low threshold, actually, Kinsey, of happiness. Are you a happy person, Kinsey? Are you?
Don't judge me.
So that's been the very big story here this week here
And like,
in the UK. How?
let's not forget that
Go on.
Elizabeth Hurley had to come out because when this story was first released, when it was first leaked, how the hell did they bring up the name Elizabeth Hurley? Isn't that wild that was the first person they assumed would take Prince Harry's virginity? And almost instantly, Liz Hurley had to come out and say, no, there's no way that's me. But actually, after hearing the truth, I think, wow, Prince Harry probably did not hate that rumor at all, that it was Liz Hurley that took his
No,
virginity.
Liz Hurley is a bit classier than a muddy field behind a pub, isn't
Oh, for
she?
sure.
Is she?
Absolutely,
I mean, do you think,
absolutely.
mind you, I mean, if it was her and she enjoyed it, it might have been an acting role we might have believed.
You are savage. I loved her in that show. Were you able to watch that show, The Royals in the UK, where she plays the Queen?
No, I didn't watch that one. The one that I love, as you know, is the Windsors.
Oh,
But I mean,
yes.
I actually think now that that we can, it's beyond parody. Parody has gone so far now that the Windsors
The Windsors
probably
is
has
like
nowhere to
watching,
go.
it's like watching the Netflix documentary. The Harry and Meghan Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if I'm watching the Windsors or Harry and Meghan's Netflix documentary. It's the same tone.
There's nowhere for it to go. That's the problem. So, would you like another bit of spare before we move on?
Oh
I could
yeah,
just open
absolutely.
it randomly at a page or
Oh my gosh,
anything that we've
hilarious.
got.
This is like
We've
roulette,
got
spare roulette.
spare yeah. Okay. What have we got here? Every kill was on video. The Apache saw all. The camera in its nose recorded all. So after every mission, there would be a careful review of that video. Returning to Bastion, we'd walk into the gun tape room, slide the video into a machine which would project the kill onto wall-mounted plasma TVs. Our squadron commander would press his face against the screens, examining, murmuring, wrinkling his nose. He wasn't merely looking for errors. This chap, he was hungry for them. He wanted to catch us in a mistake. We called him awful names when he wasn't around. We came close to calling him those names to his face. Look, whose side are you on? But that was what he wanted. He was trying to provoke us, to get us to say the unspeakable. Why? Jealousy, we decided. It ate him up inside that he'd never pulled a trigger in battle. He'd never attacked the enemy. So he attacked us. Despite his best efforts, he never found anything irregular in any of our kills. I was part of six missions that ended in the taking of human life. And they were all deemed justified by a man who wanted to crucify us. I deemed them the same.
Okay.
I do want one more bit. What made the squadron commander's attitude so execrable was this. He was exploiting a real and legitimate fear, a fear we all shared. Afghanistan was a war of mistakes, a war of enormous collateral damage, thousands of innocents killed and maimed, and that always haunted us. So my goal from the day I arrived was never to go to bed doubting that I'd done the right thing, that my targets had been correct, that I was firing on Taliban and only Taliban, no civilians nearby. I wanted to return to Britain with all my limbs, but more, I wanted to go home with my conscience intact, which meant being aware of what I was doing and why I was doing it at all times. Actually, what we've got there is a perfect example of the complete contradictions that you get in this book. He starts off by saying, this guy, my squadron commander, clearly had it in for me because he was absolutely scrutinizing whenever I had killed someone in the line of duty in war, scrutinized it to make sure that the correct procedures were carried out and that the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted and all of those sorts of things. So clearly he had it in for me. Clearly he was jealous. However, I wanted to make sure that every single kill that I had done was legitimate and I wanted to go home with my conscience clear. So if that's the case, then why did you mind being scrutinized, you silly little boy?
I didn't even notice that when I read it. I just thought, why is he putting this in writing? Why is he putting this out there? But I do think
Well,
that
yeah, you
that
could
is
say
a
that about the whole book.
exactly. I do think that's a good transition into like a little coronation. We're doing the countdown to the coronation here, obviously happening May 6th. I think this is a good transition. It is, you know, everybody's asking, is Harry going to show up? And that's a great example of why he might not be able to. Has he put his security, has he put himself in danger, in jeopardy, by revealing so much? How safe is he to travel internationally and to be out in the public when he's put that in that book?
I think that that's absolutely right. And today, the Mirror is reporting that he will attend the coronation, but in a whistle-stop visit without Meghan. Now, I think this was also reported over the weekend. That's our daily newspaper, The Mirror, Daily Mail, Operation Harry in a Hurry. Again, not about his virginity. This
Right.
one, you'd be welcome in thinking it was. But no, Duke of Sussex may be whisked into Britain for a 48-hour coronation visit, but without Meghan Markle. Do you believe that for a second? I mean, do you believe that Meghan would not want to be at the coronation? She didn't come, of course, to Prince Philip's funeral, the Duke of Edinburgh. Would she miss that, do you think?
Well, I told Fox News today that I felt like she would, because I think she is, I don't think she wants to be paraded around like a show pony. And I don't think she's
so she,
likely.
She would miss it.
I do think so. I think she would miss it. I think that she, I mean, here, Christo, they are the butt of every joke. They are on every late night show. They, you know, Jimmy Kimmel has gone after them so aggressively. Jimmy Kimmel, who in real life is best friends with Ben Affleck, Courtney Cox, Jennifer Aniston, you know, Matt Damon. Jimmy Kimmel is a member of the Hollywood elite in every form or fashion. He vacations with Jen Aniston. Like, so if he's willing to go on national television and say those things and poke fun at Harry and Meghan, imagine what's being said behind closed doors with all of these high profile celebrities. They're still the butt of the joke. And so I think that Meghan, specifically with this Sasha story, is hitting the yoga mat harder than she's ever hit it before. I think she's probably very frustrated and upset that she thought that she was going to come over and be this change maker, and they were going to be A-listers for the first time in her life. And in reality, they've become a punchline.
And do you think that that is shared? Because we hear different things over here. We hear that the tide's turned in the States and that actually they are the butt of some jokes. But we also hear over here that she's absolutely adored in the States and that she's got a huge number of fans. So which is it?
Oh, I mean, I don't... The polling that Newsweek recently did showed that she did, not as significant as Harry, but she did see a drop in support after the release of Spare and the Netflix series. And it was not as severe as Harry's drop, but she did see a drop in support. And Newsweek has been notoriously a Sussex fan page in the past. I mean, it's basically like, how can we crawl up their butts even further? So the fact that Newsweek is actually running with a poll that is negative towards them is a headline within itself.
Well, what's interesting is that everyone over here is reporting that it's going to be the most diverse coronation ever, and that all different kinds of faiths will be involved, and it will be a little more low key. So in many ways, some of what she has always wanted, and Harry, is sort of coming true, and which is interesting, because they are of course very unforgiving towards the royals, that they see as a racist institution, racist press. But of course, when Harry's been horribly racist and dressed as a Nazi, he's been given the chance to forgive and move on and forget.
I want to ask you really quick. Is that what Meghan wants? Does Meghan want a diverse ceremony? Or does Meghan just want to be credited as bringing diversity into the royal family? I don't know if Meghan cares at all, but I think Meghan wants the credit for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or do they not want it? Because then they can carry on being terrible outcast victims. And right. So actually, are the royals playing a very clever game by proactively being more diverse and more low key, so that they can show they're doing it off their own back? Because you know, look at the reaction, which I think was overstated, towards Ngozi Fulani, and the fact that this alleged racism from Lady Susan Hussey, who is, by the way, now back in the fold,
right
back
in.
With the royals. But, I mean, she was thrown to the wolves and was forced to resign immediately. Now, I think that that was as a result of Meghan and Harry and their constant accusations, and the palace being on eggshells about how they react to certain events. So, like it or loathe it, Harry and Meghan have had an influence on the royal family, but isn't an influence that they really want to have, because the more the royal family do modernize, the less they've got to moan about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and then that means the less money they can earn.
Exactly, because I just, in a similar conversation, Catherine, the Princess of Wales, just made a new hire within her household. Let's see what, it's Alice Corfield. So the Princess of Wales has made this new hire with Alice Corfield, and Fox was like, what advice would you give her? And I said, champion for William and Catherine while understanding what the objective is for the entire institution. Because we can no longer have infighting between the courtiers. I don't know. Have you read Valentine Lowe's book, Courtiers, yet?
No.
Even if you haven't, Spare goes into it a little bit. But Courtiers and Spare, they talk about how each household, they're against each other. I need this. I need that date because I've got an event happening.
You've had the good headline. I want the good headline.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
Exactly. And so I think that with, like you were saying, when you were saying that this is the palace one step ahead, I think that this hire, Alice, this new hire is one step ahead. I do think she's going to unite the households. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say it comes in the context of the Ipsos Mori poll over here, which has seen that the public approval, this is from about 2 weeks ago, the public approval ratings of the royals have slipped since last December. The Prince and Princess of Wales, so that is Kate and William, suffering the biggest loss. So it's no coincidence that a fortnight after this, they have hired this person who is seen as, and I will quote here what some of the newspapers are saying, a ball breaker, a personal secretary to shake things up. She makes things happen. She previously directed the Child Obesity and Free School Meals campaign for Jamie Oliver. A source told the Sunday Times she is a ball breaker and a real straight talker. So you're quite right. Will that mean, though, that William and Kate's households are pitted more against Charles and Camilla's household? Because, of course, one of Harry's biggest gripes, and I think he's got a fair point in this gripe, is as you've alluded to, the clashing of households and the fact that Charles and Camilla are essentially the king and queen. They should get the best press. And Charles is notorious for being a little bit jealous. He does get annoyed when he doesn't get the best press. And I would think William and Kate have got a bit of that as well, which is why, when it comes back to the coronation, there is, I think, a real dilemma that Charles has between picking between the brothers.
Ooh.
Because you've got one brother, William, whose reputation has been trashed by Spare. Because William is undoubtedly, and we've said it many times before, William is actually the one who comes off worst in Spare, the one that Harry has got a massive problem with. So you've got the choice between William and Harry, and if he invites Harry, he's essentially saying to William, not only am I approving of your brother trashing you, but also I am potentially giving your brother more ammunition to write about down the line. And William isn't going to like that, and it also will jeopardize the future of the monarchy.
But I really thought that we saw him in grown-up mode when they did the walkabout after Queen Elizabeth passed. He looked not thrilled to be in the company of his brother and sister-in-law, but he looked like he was taking one for the team. And, you know, I think we all, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we all liked him a little bit more and admired him a little bit more when we saw his behavior after that. He was very kind to Meghan throughout it. The way I think he led her towards the people. He gave quiet direction so that everybody would understand and feel comfortable. You know, you could see him mumbling every once in a while and then everybody would wave. So, I do think that he has taken a hit. You're exactly right. If Charles...
this poll puts William, he's taken the biggest hit out of everyone with Ipsos Mori. Ipsos Mori, massive polling company, very credible, down 8%. from December 22. So that's an 8% drop to a 61% approval rating. Catherine going down 7% to a 60% approval rating. Now, they are still the two most popular working royals, but it is a big hit. But go on.
Well, I just think too, you know, Prince William, I think we see these numbers every once in a while and it gives us something to you know, rip into. But the reality is Prince William exited his mother's womb and was a poll number. You know, since he was 5, 10, 15, somebody's been in a room with a clipboard saying, our poll numbers have gone up 3%. You know, like he's seen the that was a terrible accent, and I'm sorry for whoever I offended, but he's seen the roller coaster of polling. He's been the most popular prince, he's been less popular. So I'm sure that they sit back and go, give it 2 weeks, give it 3 weeks, we'll be fine. All we have to do is this, have a successful initiative here or a successful tour here, or let's pop out another baby and we're the most, you know, popular royals in the entire world. So, you know, I know that I would say the same thing for Harry. I know that all the polls are showing that Harry and Meghan have taken a huge dive here in the States, but I bet Harry is like, another day, another poll. I'm a nearly 40-year-old man, and I've been shown these numbers all my life.
Well, Harry is at 23% as opposed to William being at 61%. Meghan is at 19% as opposed to Catherine being at 60%. So they will get some consolation with those numbers. In fact, the only royal that is less popular than Harry and Meghan is Prince Andrew,
Oh, wow.
which
Duh.
is a story of its own,
Yeah,
really. He
that's a
is,
whole
yeah.
other podcast.
Oh, Andrew. And yeah, in fact, that has just reminded me, talking of Prince Andrew, Valentine's Day, of course, next week, just making my reservation for Pizza Express in Woking.
You are so bad.
I'm just gonna do that. Chain Pizzeria, where it's a relaxed space, apparently, which is funny because Prince Andrew has been described as that himself. It's a pizza restaurant in Woking on the Goldsworth Road, and they do collectional delivery as well, and very specific that he remembered being there, of course. Do you
Oh,
know,
yeah.
sometimes I watch that interview,
Don't do
sometimes
it.
I go back and just, the Newsnight interview with Prince Andrew is one of my favorite interviews of all time because it's so unbelievably disastrous, and there are, every time you think his answers are bad, there's
They
another
get
question,
worse.
and it gets worse, and it gets worse and worse and worse.
See, I don't like those. I don't, you know, I would compare them to watching the mur like a murder documentary and watching a murderer lie to you, and there's like all this forensic evidence that says that person shot that other person, and there's like, you know, residue on their, you know, gun residue on their hands and everything, and they're like, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I just can't. I can't. My I it makes me irate. I have to turn it off.
Well, I know it makes me happy. I'm sorry, it makes me happy because it's so disastrous
It's
that
just
you
wild.
just
It's wild.
it is. And so he is the least popular royal, going back to this poll. So I mean, you know, what can you say? It's there's work to be done for William and Kate, I think, and it'll be interesting to see the role that they have in the coronation. It'll be interesting to see if Andrew has any role in the
Oof.
coronation.
Right, because we know he wants to.
But of course,
Quickly.
he does desperately.
Quickly before we go, are you doing any
Yes.
coronation prep? I'm trying to get 10,000 steps in a day. I've only hit 6,000. I bought a fat burning wand. I electrocute my face every day for 15 minutes, and I have a little thing that I suctions my lips because it's supposed to make them plumper.
Yeah. So, for coronation prep, eating as much as I can, trying to get, I'm basically, in honor of Henry VIII, I'm trying to bring on my own gout.
What a legend.
That is my preparation for, in honor of any of the previous kings and queens who have died of arthritic illnesses or heart-related diseases. So that's my contribution. But I mean, again, I will return back to what I said. Your pilgrimage to the Vaintree
Stop.
Inn, I think will be your tour de force. That will be your shining moment when it comes to the coronation. And I don't think there would be a better royal tribute that you can possibly have than being fingered in a field by a royal. Is that too much? Is that too much?
I'm dead. I'm dead. I mean, actually, based on some phone calls I heard on The Crown season 5, this is appropriate for this specific coronation.
It is, and yeah, what an endorsement for sanitary products. We haven't even gone there yet. But listen, there we must end it, I'm
That's right.
afraid. We
That's right.
must call it a day. But we'll do it again in a week, right?
That's right.
All right, so you can catch us well, about every week, around this time, sort of every week. Keep an eye on our Twitter account, Majesty Pod, when you get another. And it's Majesty, MajesteePod, all one word, which you can get. Our Twitter account is up and running, so you can find out when our next episode is. You can search wherever you get your podcasts. You can look at my Twitter, Christo_radio. You can look at your Twitter, Kinsey.
Kinsey Schofield.
Exactly. And To Die For Daily, it'll be on there as well. So it's everywhere. Look for it. Find it. We are more popular than Meghan when she was in her dating years.
Oh, and I've got stories about that. So that'll be in a later episode, I guess.
Yeah, later episode. Later episode.